This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, thanks for joining us here today. Doing things a wee bit different, Bella isn't here with me today, but I have Caitlin Lester in the studio with me. Kia ora, Caitlin.
Kia ora, Holly. Good to be here.
Yeah, so for those who are our fans, they would have maybe heard an interview that I did with Caitlin a couple of months back.
That's right.
I think it was this year, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just going to have a bit of a broad chat around. Caitlin's actually just recently joined the Athenaeum Library and has been coming in every week and taking a... I'm actually impressed at how fast you can read. I think you read the Miranda July book in 2 days.
Less, maybe.
Yeah. The all fours. Yeah.
Yes, I've been meaning to join the Athenaeum Library for a long time now, and it was great to take advantage of that half-price offer you had during May, is that right?
Yeah.
So I spent a long time, I was finishing Infinite Jest, which meant I couldn't read anything else, and that took a good few months out of my life. And then as soon as I finished that, I was just like, oh, come on, give me the short books, give me normal-sized books, and I got a big stack out, the Miranda July. All fours.
That's cool.
Safe Keep, Ordinary Human Failings, and Plum. And I just sped through them.
Yeah. So you're going to talk a bit about Morris J's Plum.
I am, yeah. I have been wanting to read some Morris J for a long time.
Had you read him before?
No.
It's sad when that happens, eh? Because I'm the same, and it's like, when somebody passes away and then you realise you haven't actually engaged with any of their work. So
yeah,
that becomes the time to do it.
Definitely. It was hard to know where to start. I'd often see his books in like book sales. But I'd kind of heard through the grapevine that Plum was the creme de la creme, that what you wanted to read was Plum. So I was... That was what I had my eyes open for. And I go to the Athenaeum and I asked you, Holly. I said, I've been wanting to read Plum, actually. And she pointed behind me and it was like the closest book. It was like at my shoulder. Huh. Yeah, I don't really know what I was expecting.
So what's it about?
Yeah, it was a gentle little story of an elderly, deaf, sort of defrocked preacher looking back on his life, his sort of political life, how he combined his religious and his political life, and sort of came to the sort of coming to conclusions that ritual and the church were kind of a load of hooey in a way, but like God wasn't, like kind of an extreme, like he was a Protestant, stripping away all the ritual and the dross, but he sort of went to an extreme with that and ended up in prison. People thought it was heresy. It was highly controversial. He had these socialist leanings. A lot of that was based on Morris G's own relative, I think his grandfather. There's a little author's note in the back saying that he's based a lot of it on family letters.
Yeah, wow. So what era was it set in?
Early 20th century, kind of.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, in New Zealand. And it's really nice seeing all those place names. He's up in Kandala, catching a train from Simla Crescent, and, you know, ending up in the Littleton Jail and living in Linwood and Shirley, all over the show.
Did Littleton have a jail?
Oh, yeah. The, like, last person, like, you know, to have capital punishment in New Zealand was killed in Littleton Jail, and there's a little plaque up there to commemorate it.
Oh, that was in the Fiona Kid Chapman book, Mortal Boy, that story, excepting he was one of the last, what was it, the ice cream?
The
shop murder or something? Milk bar.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a plaque to him because he did spend time down in that area when he first came in.
So let's go back to Plum for a second.
I know, segues.
Lots of looking backwards and forwards in time, looking at the life of his huge family and all his children as they're growing up, and all very contemplative. And it kind of reminded me of Gilead in a way by Marilyn Robinson. Excellent writer. I loved Housekeeping by her. Wasn't so taken by Gilead. And in the same way, I guess I had reservations about Plum too. Maybe I'm just not the target audience for a book about an elderly man of the cloth gently looking back on his life.
I wouldn't have thought so.
But at the same time, it had little bites. It had a kind of, in the first couple of pages, I was kind of impressed by, it's set back in another era, yet it's got some biting modernity and a little sardonic kind of asides.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it something, can you see why it has its prestige? Or have, because this is the first book you've
read. I'd be interested to read some others and compare. If that's Numero Uno, then maybe I'm not that impressed.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
But then
I'm not the target audience.
Yeah. Exactly. And because when did he publish that? Was it in the 60s or 70s?
Maybe 70s.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure about that. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to talk about a book way more contemporary.
Yes. Tell me what you've been reading.
So I've been reading the new book by Sarah Moss. And for those of you who aren't sure who she is, she's a British writer and academic. So she's born in 1975. I don't know why I always need to sometimes know the age of an author. I guess contemporary authors, I'm also impressed when it's if it's their debut and they're actually writing it for the first time in their 50s. I also find that quite fascinating.
Yeah, I understand that. I like to know also. Yeah.
Sarah Moss has published 8 novels and 2 memoirs, as well as a number of nonfiction works and academic texts. I first became familiar with her from her book called Ghostwall, which was published in 2019, and it's kind of like novella in size and is about this family who are into doing these reenactments of life in Northern England, 2,500 years ago. And it's, I've got here, it's the insidious influence of the racist and sexist Englishman Bill Hampton upon his wife Alison and his smart 17-year-old Sylvie is slowly revealed. It's kind of like this whole, it's like this tension is there the whole way through that you're just waiting for this horrendous thing to happen. Anyway, I was really impressed with it. It was a while ago
that I
read it.
Can you please say the title again clearly? Every time you say it.
Ghostwall. So wool is in W-A-L-L.
Ah.
Yeah.
Thank
Not
you.
Wool from a sheep.
No.
Anyway, so her newest book, her 9th novel, is called Ripeness. And so I'm just halfway through it at the moment and enjoying it, I guess. So it's got 2 narrative strands. So they're both following this woman called Edith. One of the strands is her in the present day. I think she's in her 60s or 70s. And the opening scene is a lovemaking scene, which I thought was really bold. But then it's not until the act of lovemaking is over that it's revealed that she's actually in her 60s and 70s, which I thought was quite really well done.
I love
that. So you're immediately who is this writer? You know, I mean, I already kind of knew, but and then the other strand follows Edith as a bookish Oxford bound 17-year-old who's gone off to Italy to Lake Como, which is these days very, very affluent place for very rich people to go and take their holiday. It's in the north of Italy. So, yeah, Edith has been sort of sent there by her family, I guess, to support her sister, who's a professional ballet dancer and is pregnant and not wanting to keep the baby, is what's insinuated. So I think it sort of begins with this baby, and there's like a story around that. But actually, it's also about immigration, because very early on you learn that Edith has 4 passports. Mm. You know, she's living in Ireland, but she's also Jewish, and I think there's Israeli descendant, and Ukraine is also in there as well. So the book definitely delves more into that. The Guardian calls it a powerful and beautifully written story of family, friendship, and identity. But yeah, apparently it's been really popular, and it has kind of been a book that quite a wide cross-section of people are picking up from bookstores and libraries to
and
read.
How would you describe the writing style?
Oh gosh, you've put me on the spot. I mean, it's first person, like you're in her head, so it's third person narrative, but omniscient, so you know her thoughts and feelings. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just kind of trudging along at the moment, that I could easily get distracted by another book, but that's because I'm a librarian and I'm a librarian and have lots to read. Yeah, so I am intrigued to see where it's going. I'm more interested in the older version of Edith at the moment than I am the younger one.
Yeah, that's when you know a book is like really quite something, when it switches between like characters or timelines and you're every bit as interested in each one, and you hate it when it switches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're like, oh, can we go back to that one?
Yeah. So, and then by the time you get to the next one, you're like, no, I want the more. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And then it kind of perpetuates you through the book, because it's chapter by chapter, obviously. Yeah. And actually each chapter has a name as well, which I always find like kind of an interesting style. So it's not numbered. It's called something.
Something obvious or something insightful?
Oh, like a couple of words. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, it's okay. See what happens with it. Yeah. So you were going to talk about another book that you read.
Yes,
recently.
During my recent Infinite Jest Odyssey.
Which is absolutely impressive that you got to the end of that book. I know so many people that have, and for those of you who don't know, it's David Foster Wallace. I know so many people that have picked that book up and then just haven't been able to get to the end of it.
If you listening to this are about you out there listening right now, this is a message to you. If you're thinking of giving it a go, I really recommend it. It may seem a little bit of a slog at the beginning, but by the time you're up to page 500, it's turned into a real page turner.
It's Infinite Jest.
And then you've got another 500 pages to go.
Is it seriously that long?
Yeah, it's about 1,000 pages.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there's the never-ending footnotes.
And how beautiful that he didn't decide to turn that into 3 books.
And, yeah, everything – oh, no, I won't say that, actually. But it could have hypothetically been even longer. Like,
you could have kept going with it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's
– it's not all wrapped up by any means.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I read Heart Lamp, the Booker Prize winner for this year, which was originally written in Kannada, which is the local language of the Karnataka region in India, and has been translated in quite an interesting way, with a very comprehensive translator's note about a lot of the decisions made and keeping kind of like local idioms and how to convey that the original was written in a variety of languages to start with, and the decision not to give translations for certain words and to kind of let like the non-local reader kind of figure that out for themselves. And I was very keen to read this book because on Friday, in 2 days' time, I am actually moving to Bangalore, which is in the heart of Karnataka. And I thought it was just such an incredible coincidence in the way that the latest Booker Prize had been won by a woman.
So that was the international booker.
Yes.
Of 2024, was it?
What time of year are they handed out?
Yeah, it's already been, this year's already been, and it was Yale van der Woerden.
Maybe it was last year's. Okay, sure.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it would.
Because they do. I mean, you know, 1 year goes quick.
It does. I wanted to love it, but I didn't. I liked it. It was insightful. It was certainly a lot of learning for me in terms of what's happening in the broader area of the place I'm going to, especially kind of more rural areas. It gives an insight into really conservative Islamic life in the area. And it's pretty horrific. The author belongs to a collective who are trying to sort of illuminate the lives of ordinary people and especially women. I think it's a women's collective trying to elevate the voices of the people and to make their stories literary. So, I mean, a whole lot of it was pretty harrowing in a way, like the stuff that people put up with and are expected to do and how men treat their women and taking multiple wives and the poverty. But I have to say that it was kind of disjointed and confusing, and I'm sure a lot of that is due to the translation. And the choices that were made there, which were very deliberately made. And obviously the judging panel approved of it. I mean,
disjointed because you're looking up what words are?
Sometimes I got confused about what was actually going on from like kind of paragraph to paragraph and whether we were like continuing to a new bit or like, or if it was more explanation of what we were previously talking about, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, we were talking about this recently about translations and wondering like whether people follow certain translators, like looking at what text they do, because a lot must weigh on the good translation of a text.
Absolutely. And authors have, you know, translators that they trust and love to use, and then sometimes you notice that they change and it's like, why have you changed? Yeah. It wasn't working for you. Like I know Murakami kind of has a couple that he works with.
I guess that would make sense to work with a couple, because otherwise you could be in danger of it becoming too much that person's voice.
That's a good point.
If you're you know, as successful as Murakami. Yeah.
Well, one thing that the translator of Heartlamp said, I really should have these people's names.
So, we were talking about you going there to do this journalistic.
Wait. I really want to say this.
Yeah, okay.
She was talking about, she was talking about being from a different part of the country in a different like social class. And how it felt kind of like disingenuous and difficult for her to be coming in and translating the stories of like from a language that isn't even her own.
The translator. That's interesting.
It was interesting, and sort of dealing with how to, make it.
Curious.
Yeah.
So is it the kind of book, would you recommend this book? Or I mean, you said it won. Well, obviously, if it didn't win, it was definitely shortlisted.
No, it did win. But what did it win, though? Well, sorry,
Maybe it was last year's International Booker Prize. I think it was. Yeah.
And it won. And it was incredible that it won. But would I recommend it? Apparently, the judges just adored it. And they were in total kind of agreement. And they were like, it's just the standout. There's no doubt about it. Well, maybe I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No.
Well, for those of you who weren't listening, Caitlin is doing a 3-month residency for journalism.
That's right.
In India. And so she heads off there on Friday. And so we're working holiday.
Yep. And a news agency.
Yeah. So will you be Monday to Friday?
Monday to Friday, apparently I start pretty late in the afternoon, maybe.
Oh, to avoid the heat.
Yeah, I think so, from like 3.30 till 9.30. So I'm going to tire myself out during the day, tramping the streets, looking at the sights.
Do you think you'll try and revisit any of the scenes from that book, Heart Lamps? Or the places that have been mentioned in there?
Well, maybe, but it would take a bit of a day trip because it was very rural.
Yeah,
it was not a city collection. It was people living a kind of a bit more of a, yeah, rural life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
And it's not your first time in India. You've been there before, yes?
Yep, I've been there about 17 years ago to the north, travelling through with a friend.
Nice.
Yes, it was not my first rodeo. I kind of know what to expect. But at the same time, a lot can change in 17 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not so much in Dunedin, but yes.
But yeah. Bangalore is apparently the Silicon Valley of India. People like all move there to work in the tech industry.
Hmm.
Very, very techy.
Okay. I found it interesting, our conversation just before we came on the show, about how you were going to transport yourself around the city. And the mixed reviews you're getting from people saying to cycle or not to cycle.
Yeah, I think one of my first stories, if the paper are amenable to it, might be the experience of a newcomer to the city trying to like walk around or bike around, because apparently both of those are very difficult.
And the public transport system, how well is that functioning?
I'm not really sure. They've got a metro system, but it's not connected up to the area that I'm living in. And apparently it's really crowded and full on. On a bicycle, apparently you're treated like the lowest of the low. And people are just like, get off the road, you crazy person. You don't deserve to be here. Apparently it's very dangerous, but I'm willing to give it a go. And I've seen photos of the footpaths and huge parts of the city, they're pretty non-existent and just like kind of piles of rubble.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, I look forward to hearing more about it when you come back in 3 months and seeing photos as well.
Yeah.
Are you going to be documenting any of it that people could follow?
Yeah, I definitely will be. I'm going to do my best. I'm not great with social media, but as kind of I'm going as part of the it's a scholarship through the Asia New Zealand Foundation, I'll definitely be documenting it for them.
Yes, yeah,
and I'll be putting it on my
socials
somewhere.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I just want to mention a couple of events that we've got coming up at the Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute. Mm-hmm. They're both happening in July. We've got the Layers of Identity reading that's run by ORFM actually on the 21st of August. And then on the 22nd, we're hosting the National Poetry Day event, which will be a big hurrah. And then also a few things coming up. Well, actually, October is going to be quite major with the Heritage Festival running all month. We're going to be involved in that. And the Readers and Writers Festival, which I'm really looking forward to, is happening mid-October this year. And Landfall's 250th anniversary as well. Not years, but edition. Because I said that to someone recently and they're like, oh my God, 250 years, which is obviously impossible.
Impossible.
Well, Caitlin, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Marvelous.
And I look forward to inviting you on the show again and hearing about your travels and
maybe more. I can bring you from India.
Yes, you could. We could do a little interview that way.
And if anyone's interested in seeing what I'm up to, you could probably find out through the Asia New Zealand Foundation socials. That's how you do it. That would be the best way.
And are they're Facebook and Instagram?
Yep, they'll be sharing all my stuff, or we'll be linked together. And they have a wide range of scholarships available for people in like so many areas.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're really, really great. I highly recommend checking out what they could potentially do for you.
Especially in an era in which that sort of stuff is becoming scarcer.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Because you sort of got onto it because you were studying up at Massey, was it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, yeah, everyone have a wonderful weekend and, yeah, catch you out there.
Catch ya.
Books Uncovered, exciting conversations about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.